That I was going to preach from the prophets Jonah and Haggai and Obadiah. We finished Haggai last week, and we will preach through Obadiah this morning. But I think it's good to not get set into just a few scriptures or a few books or a few topics that we like. I think as a preacher, Paul's philosophy was the best. He said, I preach the whole counsel of God. And I believe my obligation is to preach from the whole of Scripture, not just the parts of Scripture that I like or the easy parts that are easy to preach from, but to proclaim the whole counsel of God. There's so many good teachings and many books of the Bible that are simply neglected. They simply will not go there and preach from those books, and we miss out. So this is a great Old Testament prophetic book, the prophet Obadiah. Obadiah means servant of the Lord. The word for servant in Hebrew is the word aved. If you remember Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, right? That word Abednego, that's the word aved. That's the word servant. He's the servant of Nego. That's who he is. He's the servant of Nego. You have the word here, servant, with the ending Yah, and so the servant of Yahweh. And Obadiah is the shortest of the Old Testament books, only 21 verses. It'd be real easy to simply miss the prophet Obadiah as you're reading through the Bible, because if you blink, you'll miss it, because it's just a very, very short book. Now, Obadiah prophesies of the destruction of Edom. And so the question that arises now is, who is Edom? Who are the Edomites? Well, to answer that question, we need to go back to Genesis chapter 25. In Genesis chapter 25, beginning at verse 19, this is the genealogy of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah as wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived, but the children struggled together within her. And she said, if all is well, why am I like this? And so she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. And when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, and he was hairy like a garment all over. And red is what Edom means, red. So they called his name Esau. And after his brother came out, his hand took hold of Esau's heel. And so his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. The boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter and a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau and ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Parents made a huge mistake there, showing partiality, right? Mama loved one, daddy loved one. They should have loved them both equally, but they didn't. And that never works out well when mama or daddy shows favoritism to a child. But nonetheless, who are Edom? So Esau was named Edom, and the Edomites come from Esau. So we're talking about the Edomites. And so these people dwell in what's known as Petra. This is a very fortified area. It's on the east side of the Dead Sea. It's a very, very difficult area to attack militarily. I mean, they were in a good place because they were up high, and it said that 12 men could guard themselves against 1,000 trying to come up the mountains to destroy them. So what we're talking about is the two nations that came forth from Isaac. You had Esau and Jacob, Israel and the Edomites. And so let's talk about the Edomites here. So Edom was guilty of two major sins that I want to point out. Sins that we need to be aware of. Sins that we need to be careful that we are not committing in our own lives. Number one, he was guilty of the sin of pride. The sin of pride. Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And in Proverbs 11, verse 2 says, when pride comes, then shame comes. Now I want you to notice the pride of the Edomites. Because they were in this place and they felt so secure that nobody could take them down. Listen to what he says. Verse 2. He says, behold, I will make you small among the nations, and you shall be greatly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? And though you ascend as high as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, says the Lord. And so the Edomites, a very proud people. Militarily, they thought they had the upper hand on everyone. They felt very secure. They felt like nobody could take them down. But I want you to notice what they were trusting in. Number one, they were trusting in their defenses. In verse 3, the pride of your heart has deceived you, you who dwell in the clefts of the rocks. And so they're in this place is called Petra. If you look in any Bible dictionary and you look up Petra, it's a well-fortified area. Strategically, militarily, it's the place you want. All right, it's a high place. But they were trusting in their defenses. They just thought that nobody could conquer them. Nobody could bring them down. But secondly, they were trusting in their alliances. They were trusting in their alliances. Notice he says in verse 5, he says through 7, he said, if thieves had come to you, if robbers by night, oh, how you would be cut off. Would they not have stolen till they had enough? And if grape gatherers had come to you, would they not have left some of the gleanings? Oh, how Esau shall be searched out, and his treasures shall be sought after. All the men in your confederacy shall force you to the border. The men at peace with you shall deceive you and prevail against you. Those who eat your bread shall lay a trap for you, and no one is aware of it. So not only were they trusting in their defenses, they were trusting in their allies. They thought, oh man, we're allied with these people over here, and they've got our back, and they're going to watch out after us. And what we need to know is our allies really are looking out for their own selves. Our allies are not as interested in us as they are themselves. And we need to always know this. Don't put our trust in allies, because allies will let you down. So it's a great mistake for people to do this. But we have great allies here in America. Many great countries are allied with America. But we must never put our trust in them. Our trust always has to be in the Lord, because our allies could simply jump ship at any time. They could go to the other team at a whim. And so it's never a secure thing or a sure thing. And it's a dangerous thing to put your hope and trust in men. And that's what the Edomites were doing. In addition, they also were trusting in their experts. They trusted in their experts. Look at verse 8. He says, "Will I not in that day, says the Lord, even destroy the wise men from Edom and understanding from the mountains of Esau?" So often we put our faith and trust in wise people. You know, militarily we think, oh, we have the wisest generals, you know. These are the people we need to put our trust in. No, we don't trust in those people. We trust in the Lord. But it's so easy for men to put their trust in men. And this was a huge mistake. So the Edomites, they were proud because they put their trust in their defenses. They put their trust in their allies. They put their trust in their experts. They put their trust everywhere other than where it needed to be, and it needed to be in the Lord. And instead, it was in men. Now I want you to see a couple of scriptures here. First of all, in Jeremiah chapter 49, as Jeremiah prophesies of the destruction of Edom, Edomites. In chapter 49, in verse 16, it's almost verbatim. It says, "Your fierceness has deceived you, the pride of your heart, all you who dwell in the clefts of the rock, who hold the height of the hill. And though you make your nest as high as the eagle," notice what God says, "I will bring you down from there, says the Lord." So pride is one of those things that will bring a nation down, that will bring a people down. I want you to notice just two passages of Scripture. One is in Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14, this is in reference to Babylon. Isaiah chapter 14. I want you to notice the pride of Babylon. Beginning at verse 12. "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" Now the word Lucifer there, that's a really bad translation. The word there, the Hebrew word is Halil. Halil. And it simply means morning star or shining one is the idea. The King James translated as Lucifer, and that became a name for Satan. But if you read all the way through here, Satan is never mentioned. Babylon is who is mentioned all the way through this text over and over again. Babylon, Babylon, Babylon. That's who this text is talking about. It's not talking about the devil, but many people think it's talking about the devil. Now, it could be an allusion to Satan's fall, but it's talking about the fall of Babylon. There's no question. You can't read the 14th chapter and walk away with any other understanding other than this is Babylon. So he says, "How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. You have said in your heart," notice, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And I also will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds," notice, "and I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit." And so Babylon was very proud. Babylon thought nobody could take them down. And God said, "I will take you down." Pride always precedes destruction. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Now one other text in Ezekiel chapter 28, often again used to say this is Satan. But he's talking about the Phoenician king and the Phoenician empire. And if people would just read beginning at verse 1 and not just the verses they think that back up what they believe, but read the whole context, you can see clearly that he's talking about the Phoenician king. He's talking about the Phoenician empire. That's the subject here. And it's very clear if you read it. So beginning in chapter 28, let's start at verse 12. And notice what he says. Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre. Notice that. Not Satan, the king of Tyre. And say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the turquoise, the emerald, with gold, the workmanship of your trembles and pipes, was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers, lest established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trade, you became filled with violence within and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Notice verse 17. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. And I will cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they may gaze at you. But you defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities and the iniquity of your trading. Verse 19, and all who knew among the peoples are astonished at you, and you have become a horror and shall be no more forever. And that was the end of the Phoenician Empire. That was the end of the Phoenician people. But again, their downfall was their pride. They were lifted up. They were a proud people. And God humbled them and brought them down. Another text I want you to briefly look at is in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. I want you to see, this was also the downfall of the devil. It was the downfall of Satan. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, when he gives the qualifications of an elder, of a bishop, he says, it must not be a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, fall into the same condemnation of the devil. What was the fall of Satan? Pride. What was the fall of Babylon? Pride. What was the fall of Tyre? Pride. The fall of the devil? Pride. The fall of Edom? Pride. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Sin, pride is a sin that all of us have to watch out for. You know, pride says, I don't need God. I don't need anyone. I can get along well in life. I'm secure. I can take care of myself. And so it's real easy for us to become a proud people. We must be careful that we don't become proud, because pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. But secondly, I want you to see here that the Edomites were guilty of violence against their brothers. They were guilty of violence against their brothers. Notice verse 10 through 14. We'll pay just right now just verses 10 and 11. Listen to what he says. For violence against your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you. and you shall be cut off forever. In the day that you stood on the other side, in the day that strangers carried off his forces, when foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, and even you were as one of them. And so the Edomites were guilty of the violence of silence against their brethren. But I want to point out something before we go there. And in Numbers chapter 10, I want you to see what the Edomites did when the Israelites came out of Egypt. And they came to this area that was occupied by the Edomites. And they asked permission to pass through. And they would not allow them to pass through. Beginning in chapter 10, verse 14. I lost my reference here. Chapter 20. I knew something was wrong there. Chapter 20. Sorry about that. In chapter 20, beginning at verse 14. So when Israelites came out of Egypt and they were attempting to go into the promised land, they wanted to cross through this area that was occupied by their brethren, the Edomites. Now remember, these are Esau's descendants. And it's Israel, Isaac's descendants, who are wanting to go through. And they deny their brethren, beginning at verse 14. Now Moses sent messengers from Kadesh to the king of Edom. And thus says your brother Israel, he says, you know that all the hardships that have befallen us and how our fathers went down to Egypt and dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians afflicted us and our fathers when we cried out to the Lord. And he heard their voice and sent an angel and brought us out of Egypt. Now, we are in Kadesh, a city on the edge of the border. Please let us pass through your country. We will not pass through your fields or vineyards, nor will we drink water from wells. We will go on the king's highway, and we will not turn aside to the right hand or to the left hand until we pass through your territory. Then Edom said to him, you shall not pass through my land, lest I come against you with a sword. So here's Esau's brethren wanting to simply pass through, not wanting their water, not wanting their crops. They just simply want to go through their territory and make their way to the promised land. And they are denied this privilege to go through. They did not act brotherly toward their brothers and sisters. And this is sinful. This is wrong. And you see this a lot in the Bible. Cain and Abel, for example, another brother-brother relationship. And Cain kills his brother Abel. You can go to the story of Joseph with his brothers. They hated Joseph and they wanted to kill him and almost killed him, but instead they ended up selling him. But look at the mistreatment of their brethren. This is wrong. And this is what's pointing out here. So when the Babylonians came in to conquer Israel, the Edomites did nothing. They did nothing. They just stood aloof, we're told in verse 11, while strangers carried off foreigners. And they, he says in the latter part of verse 11, that even you were as one of them. You were just like the enemy. You couldn't tell a difference between the Babylonians and the Edomites because both were the enemies of God's people. Rather than treating their brethren properly in the way that they should, they treated them horribly, mistreated them. They allowed Israel to be carried away captive without lifting a finger, without offering any help whatsoever. And even after the Babylonians left, then the Edomites came in and looted behind them. This is terrible. And so we're not to treat our brothers and sisters in this manner. They were guilty of the violence of silence. They simply stood still and watched the Babylonians conquer their brethren, and they did absolutely nothing to assist or to help them. We're told in 1 John chapter 3, in 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, he says, John writes, "For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that you should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous." So notice verse 11, "For this is the message that you've heard, that we should love one another and not as Cain." Cain was a murderer. Cain killed his brother. The Edomites are not an example to follow either. They're an example to avoid. We're supposed to love our brothers and our sisters in Jesus Christ. And we need to treat our brothers and sisters in Christ rightly. You know, Cain had asked the question when God confronted him after the death of his brother. He said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And the answer to that question is yes. You are your brother's keeper. I am my brother's keeper. We're called to be our brother's keeper. We need to be there when our brethren need us. And when they're in help, we should come to their aid. That's what the Bible clearly teaches. But the Edomites did not act brotherly. They acted as the enemy. And so there were two major sins that brought the Edomites down. And they might be sins in your life. The sin of pride, and then the sin of not loving their brother and sister. And so are you struggling this morning with pride? Are you struggling with lack of brotherly love? Well, the Bible tells us what to do. If we're a brother, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so if I'm a Christian and I'm lifted up with pride, or I'm not loving my brother or sister the way that I need to confess that sin to God. And if I do that, He promises that He will forgive. But if I'm not a Christian, if I'm not a believer in Jesus Christ, then I'm called to obey the gospel. I need to believe in Jesus. I need to repent of my sins. I need to confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I need to be buried in the waters of baptism to be united with Christ in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. So this morning, if you need to respond to the gospel, we urge you to do that as we stand and sing.